Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Monday, September 26th. Today, we're talking to the Colorado Sun's outdoor reporter, Jason Blevins, about officials using foam to fill dangerous abandoned mine shafts in the Colorado Rockies. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Xcel Energy. Colorado has some of the nation's best wind and solar resources, and Xcel Energy is putting them to work for you. Their nation-leading wind energy expansion is reducing our carbon footprint while producing some of the lowest-cost electricity on the Colorado grid. Learn more at xcelenergy.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Today, we take you back to September 26, 1881, when George A. Crawford, whose election as governor of Kansas in 1861 was declared invalid by the courts, came to western Colorado to locate a new town. Scouts praised the land at the confluence of the Grand and Gunnison Rivers. Crawford immediately filed paperwork to establish a community there. Originally named Ute for the culture that had dominated the region, it now bears the title Grand Junction. But settlement at Grand Junction proceeded slowly because of a lack of timber for construction as well as a lack of fuel. Eventually, irrigation opened the Grand Valley to agriculture, and by the century's end, it earned national praise for specialty crops including fruit orchards and sugar beets. The town even captured the seat of the new Mesa County in 1883 and remains the Western Slope's political, educational, and economic hub. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun invites you to attend Ski Area Bosses with outdoors reporter Jason Blevins virtually on October 6th. Hear from industry experts about lessons learned over the last few seasons, challenges about climate, housing, and much more. Visit coloradosun.com/events to register for free. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you today. Today, we are visiting with the Colorado Sun's outdoor reporter and co-founder, Jason Blevins. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Carol.
Today, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how state and federal officials have been closing mines in Colorado for decades now. And recently they closed a large mine up in Indian Peaks Wilderness using just tons of foam. And so can you tell us a little bit about that and why it's important to seal up some of these mine shafts?
Sure. Pretty good little hike, couple mile hike into the Indian Peaks Wilderness up to the main entrance of the 4th of July mine, once a very bustling silver mine that became a copper mine and has been dormant for many, many decades. And the mine entrance had collapsed. Volunteers up there on that trail alliance, the Indian Peaks Trail Alliance, had noticed the collapse and had warned the state and Forest Service, Arapahoe Roosevelt National Forest, as well as the Colorado Division of Reclamation Mining and Safety. And so these guys planned a big mission in there with a number of horses, 9 horses that carried bags of these chemicals that when the bags are ripped open and mixed together, they create this large amount of thick hardening foam. And they dribbled this foam into the mine entrance, hundreds of bags, and sealed up the mine entrance. And then they covered it with a bunch of dirt. There are tens of thousands of mines across Colorado that are open and scary and dangerous. And we do run into instances where hikers and it seems like an inordinate amount of teenagers find their ways into these mines and are injured or killed. And so the Forest Service and the state have been diligently since about 1980. They've closed somewhere around 13,000 of these mines. If they can drive up to them, they pour cement on them. They put big iron gates over them. If there's bats, possible bat life in there, you know, they use a sort of a jail-like gate so that people can't come and go, but the bats can. But then for these remote spots and for this particular 300-foot deep mine shaft, they use this polyurethane foam. They call it PUF, P-U-F, and it seals up those things airtight. Pretty neat project.
Yeah, it's wild. You know, I remember as a child wandering the hills with my dad, who was a Denver Public Schools history teacher, with a penchant for geology and rock hounding. And we used to go all over, you know, tailings pits and mines, and it was probably a little bit more dangerous than our 1980s kids playgrounds, you know, that had teeter-totters and merry-go-rounds and metal playground equipment. But back then, I knew I was safe. I was with my dad. I was very young. And as the population of Colorado has exploded and as some of these mine shafts have collapsed, like you're referencing, it's a real, real dangerous problem. And so you referenced that they've closed 13,000 shafts in the last, you know, 40 years or so. Is there a reliable estimate on how many are left and or how many they need to do this to still?
Many, many more. They say there's probably more than 50, and that's just that they know about. So there could be 100,000 more of these tunnels, main adits, they call them, the horizontal tunnels, as well as the shafts and different kind of dangerous debris. And the Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety, they're largely focused on public safety. So their mission in this inactive mine program they have had since 1980 is to go out and kind of close these dangerous features, you know, protect them, protect the public from possibly finding themselves inside these tunnels or injured. So part of a larger scale effort that's been going on for many decades now, but it is public safety sort of motivated more than, say, water quality or some of the other issues that the state also grapples with these mines, obviously. But this particular program with the foam is public safety.
Yeah, and it's frightening. And so kudos to them for staying on top of it. I remember maybe 4 or 5 years ago, two teenagers, I believe, who were killed in Boulder County after somebody, they were riding in a Jeep. A driver goes over a hill and right down into a mine shaft. The driver survived and both of the teenagers were killed. And that was not that long ago.
Yeah, not that long ago. And important to note that the family of one of those teenagers that was killed in that 2016 crash in Boulder County, they sued the Forest Service for improperly closing the mine shaft. So that is an instance that the Forest Service points to saying, this is why we need to do this. We could get sued. We could be held liable for injuries from people. You know, that case eventually went all the way up to a federal appeals panel, which did not side with the family and did not find that the Forest Service should be held accountable for that situation. But still, that's an example of why they do it and why they feel they need to go out there and close these.
Exactly. And still, you know, two people are dead because of this. So earlier you mentioned PUF, I think, as the acronym for this particular foam. And our colleague, reporter Michael Booth, environmental reporter, has written extensively about PFAS or forever chemicals in groundwater. And a lot of those emanate from particular foams. Does this become a factor in closing mines in the Rocky Mountains with this particular foam?
No, this polyurethane foam is a different chemical. It is largely inert. They do not have what people call these forever chemicals. And the foam that makes the chemicals that are used in firefighting foam that has those PFAs, those PFAS and PFOAs, this PUF is not polyfluorinated compound. So the two components are essentially inert. They are not environmentally hazardous. They don't damage water. They don't shed these forever chemicals that will get into our water supply forever. And there's been many studies. We've been using this stuff since the 80s. And they put a drain in there so water doesn't sit on top of the foam. They essentially build the foam, you know, plug around a PVC pipe that will drain surface water. They put backfill, 4+ feet of backfill on top of the foam. And then there's a lot of studies that they point to and they say, okay, our other option is we build a road and drive cement in here to seal this mine entrance. So when you put it in all these different ways, one, it's not chemically hazardous. Two, they could carry it in on horseback. It's a couple little bags of foam and sure, a lot of horses, but they can go into a wilderness. They don't need a helicopter. They don't need trucks and big machinery, and it can be done in a day. So there's a lot of environmental benefits of this foam. And it's important to note that this is way better than building a road. And they're not, you know, shedding these kind of chemical compounds that seem to find their way into our water supplies and linger there.
Yeah. Well, thanks for breaking that down. When the next hiker or off-road person is wandering around, you know, Indian Peaks Wilderness and 4th of July Trail or that area, will they notice this? Or you mentioned, you know, all the backfill. Does it become invisible?
It's invisible. You will not notice it. You will notice the big giant machinery that's still up there that will be forever because they just can't find a way to get that down because it's in a wilderness area now. But you won't see that pit. And, you know, the state and Forest Service now, some of their hiking apps and things like that, they have ways that they will let folks know how to report maybe dangerous spots that they found, maybe a collapsed mine entrance, things like that. So they found a lot of different ways that they can get the public to kind of be involved in safety and finding out these things. They really don't want you to go in there. And there's a lot of people that do want to go in there. So it's, you know, it's sort of a challenge. They'll scroll the, you know, social feeds and internet and find videos of a cave and people in a mine. And they're like, that's definitely a mine. That's not a cave. Wow, that looks like Boulder County when they were going in there. So they can kind of find out where it is. And they'll go there and track down, backtrack from the videos they find on social media and close the gates. And then they'll go close it up. They'll be in the process of closing it up. And people will show up with their ropes and lights and lanterns and stuff. And they'll have to tell them that you're not allowed in there. We're closing this up. This is for your own safety. And you can imagine how that goes over. But we have a lot of brave adventurers out here who are really interested in that kind of stuff. And their state's sort of trying to keep one step ahead of them.
Right. Definitely not for spelunking. That's for sure. And it sounds like technologically, you know, we've come a long way since the early 1980s when they started closing these up. So thanks for walking us through this today, Jason. I appreciate it. Our listeners can go to coloradosun.com and, you know, just search the story on filling mine shafts with foam. And thanks for everybody who helped with today's podcast, including our production partners, Pirate Audio. And I sincerely hope that you can join us for tomorrow's Daily Sun Up.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Interest rate hikes and recession fears are cooling the Denver housing market, but it is far from a deep freeze. The Federal Reserve has raised rates 5 times this year for a total of 3 percentage points. Buyers are no longer snapping up houses within 12 days of hitting the market in Denver. They're waiting 21 days. Still, sellers are getting about 40% more than they would have 3 years ago. And even with the market slowing, the median price of a house sold in August was 10% higher than a year ago. Jefferson County commissioners will vote Tuesday on an updated forest plan that includes major tree clearing on 1,000 acres in the next 5 years. Jeffco Open Space owns 25,000 acres of forest, and officials want to mitigate fire danger and try to restore ecological diversity lost in a century of natural fire suppression and rapid redevelopment. But early thinning efforts in the plan have been attacked as catastrophic clear cuts that ruin the aesthetics of open space. Opponents claim the thinning dries out forest by opening stands to sunlight and wind and could allow flames to spread faster. Elijah McClain died because of ketamine toxicity, according to an amended autopsy report released Friday by the Adams County coroner. The report says the 23-year-old black man died during a 2019 police encounter in Aurora after being injected with a powerful dose of ketamine while being restrained by officers. Previously, McClain's cause of death was released as undetermined. A government watchdog group called the release of the revised report a victory for transparency after a judge lifted a court seal that kept it secret. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.